For coaches, by coaches, this is Soccer Chat with Nick Rizzo and Sean Sauterly. Brought to you by Social Media for High School Athletes.
There's not too many of that.
I miss you, Sam. This is awesome.
Everybody needs more Sam in their life, and this is the perfect opportunity.
That's debatable.
It's not debatable. Everybody asks, anytime we talk about episodes where we've had more than one person on, every single person, and Nick can attest to this, what about the one with Sam and Sarah? That's always the one that people bring up.
That's probably just because we're ripping into each other.
But you guys were entertaining. Like, I'm surprised you guys haven't started your own show.
What schedules are too busy for that?
Yeah. Well, we are here. This is the 99th episode of Soccer Chat. And it's coming out June 13th, which is my birthday. And I'll admit, selfishly, for my birthday, I wanted to hang out with my soccer friends. And I don't get to hang out with my soccer friends too often, other than Wednesday nights via Twitter. But I wanted to actually be able to speak to everybody and do that. And so as we're doing this, you might hear people pop on because we just sent a link out on Twitter for people to join the call, and people are liking it, retweeting it. And if you're liking it, retweeting it, just click the link and join. Like, what are you doing? We are filled with people from all over the country, all over the world even. And I'm so excited that you guys will take out a part of your day. I'm sorry, you know, Sam, that you can't watch your Love Island right now because you're going to spend your Love Island time with us. But let's go around the room and just kind of everybody introduce yourselves for everybody who's listening. We'll start with Matt.
All at once?
Yeah. Everybody all at once, say your name out there. We'll start with Matt. Matt, tell everybody who you are, where you coach, man.
Hey guys, I'm Matt Conti. I coach in Yorktown, Virginia, Williamsburg, Virginia, all throughout the Hampton Roads. I specialize in conditioning, training, and I've been coaching soccer for about 20 years.
Oh, right, 20. This is the cool thing. Like, everybody that we chat with, whether it's on Twitter or the group chat, like, there's still some people that we don't know, like, the whole story. Like, I didn't know you've been coaching for 20 years. Maybe I'm an idiot and didn't pay attention.
No, it's all good. I started coaching my daughter when she started playing, and she's around 21, 22. So, yeah.
Nice. And the baddest man in soccer coaching, Mr. Michael. Michael, introduce yourself to everybody. Soccer Chat alum.
Michael Mismer, now with Northampton High School. A little bummed out. My dog is laying on me, so I don't know if you guys can see that. staring at my dog's rear end, but he's keeping me warm. We had a summer league game tonight against a team that we wanted to play really well, and our team is kind of stacked, and the rain canceled it. So I feel like somebody dropped out of a fight, I'm all anxious, and now I have to just wait and sit here. But it's cool to be talking to everybody here.
Oh, for sure. And probably we said earlier, and we said this at convention too, that the best mascot name for a high school was the Lady Hot Dogs from our friend Coach Isaac. Yours is the Concrete Kids. That's probably 1B of best high school mascot names.
Yeah, they're a solid group. I'm excited to see what they do this year.
I can't wait till we talk more with you as the season progresses. Joining us again, all the way from Australia, Mr. Pete, man, what's going on?
What's happening, folks? So, name's Pete. You might have heard the last podcast. I do a heck of a lot of coaching here in Australia in terms of futsal and work with athletes with disabilities. And Illawarra Stingrays is kind of my home club. So, yeah, that's me.
I have to give Pete a big shout out because Sunday night I happened to turn on the television at like midnight and Australian rules football was on. And a little known fact about me is when I was a little kid, I used to run down the driveway after school because on ESPN2, they would show old school world-class championship wrestling from Dallas, Texas. And then directly afterwards, Australian rules football. And I would watch both those religiously like every day. After school. And so I was sitting there watching it. I tweeted about it and I sent something to to Pete, and he responded back. And then Pete and I DM'd back and forth throughout the night to where I was like, it's 1:30 in the morning and I've got tryouts in 7 hours. So I probably need to stop watching Australia. But it was cool.
But you missed out on a good game. Like Collingwood smashed it, man. Like Collingwood absolutely smashed that game. So yeah, you missed out on watching the rest of it.
It was 23-8 when I left. What did it finish up?
98-57.
98-57?
I just love how you guys say the word 90. 98. Like my favorite thing the Australians say, 98.
And then over here with the minion, Sam, introduce yourself.
I have a new minion picture. I need to upload it. But yeah, Sam Etherington, head coach at Louisiana College. I think I was 8 years old when Matt started coaching, based off my calculations. Just going to age you right there. But yeah, I'm just in Louisiana chilling, thought I'd hop on the chat for your birthday while also trying to watch the NBA game and secretly hoping Toronto wins.
Well, tell me if Quinn Cook does anything. That's the only thing I really care about this this finals.
Is he a Duke guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's who my daughter's named after.
Yep, that's what I figured.
Yeah. So obviously birthday party. I told everybody if you had one, get one. And I'm going to. I haven't done this in a long time on the show, so I have to make sure to get it like right by the camera or by the microphone. I haven't done that in a long time. I used to do that on the show.
The big crack. Love it.
I got a few.
Anyway. Yeah. Look at Nick with all the toys that he's got over there. So
I got an extra shot in here for you.
Hey, there we go. We'll take it. So what's everybody's like, there was one question I definitely want to make sure to get, across to everybody. Did anybody see the video? I think I sent a link in the group text. I know I put on Twitter too, about the whole, discussion about, Ada from Norway and, you know, why she wasn't playing and whatnot, in the World Cup. And what I wanted to kind of get everybody's opinion on, was, so you have the narrative from, like, I was surprised that I think Kate Gill was the only one who like backed her up, and everybody else kind of said, well, we don't know why she's doing what, we don't know why, when clearly from day one, like, she has said exactly why she's not playing in the World Cup. So if you guys watch that clip, you know, for the ones that did, like, what was your thoughts on it?
I thought all of the comments, like, from the round table, like, I don't know if it was ESPN or
– It was Fox.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was with you. This is the only thing she has. It reminds me a lot of when – I think it would have been back in 1996, the 99ers almost didn't go to the Olympics because of the exact same reason. That mm-hmm. they weren't getting the pay was very poor, and it was a lot of things. And so it wasn't all of them that sat out. I want to say it was maybe like six of them, but it was like six of the main ones. It was like Michelle Akers, Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy. And they did the exact same thing for the Olympics, where they're like, well, we're just, I think I remember it like on the documentary, it was, they were talking to, who was the female tennis player that was,
Billie Jean King.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. Julie Foudy was like even calling her and saying like, what are we doing? Billie Jean King's like, that's the only thing you have is you just don't play. They eventually, something's going to change. Otherwise they're just going to be screwed. And so I think that for her, especially in the position of power that she's in, being the best women's soccer player in the world, that's all she has is I'm just not going to play. And so I think it's on her move. I think it's the best thing that she could have done based off of what she wants to accomplish. And I think if you're arguing against it, I don't think you understand what she's trying to do.
I think she's very brave. I couldn't do it. Like, you have a very limited time, even as a male, to have a career. And then to do that as a female and kind of scrap away your chance to play in the World Cup, like, that's brave. Like, I think I would just... I'd play and I'd be like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to get paid as much. You know, like, it takes a lot to stand against that.
Yeah, I'm no Darren Revelle, but I'm sure that, being considered the best player in the world, like, she's definitely missing out on some money here. Maybe yeah. not from her own federation, but just marketing with sponsorships.
Yeah.
Do you think she'll regret it?
You know, I who was it? Lawless said he doesn't think she'll regret it now, but she will later. I think
I kind of agree with that, but it is super courageous, and we're talking about it because of her. So she's kind of doing the right thing and bringing attention to what she feels is really important. And you know, you see all these people talking all kinds of crap, but you know, she's doing the right thing, and it takes guts.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, was that you know, Lala said, you know, she'll regret it later on, maybe not now, but later. And it kind of got me thinking of, we think of so many opportunities that present itself. And I think she would regret more not sitting out and trying to stand up for what she believes in than she will regret not playing. Because is she 25, 26?
24, I think. She's young.
I thought she was under 25.
Okay, so
great. She's less than half my age.
So she's 24. So Matt coached her from the time she was four. I feel like that's going to be the new running theme throughout the night here. But so, you know, she's 24 and, you know, she's still best player in the world and she's still going to play. She's still going to train. Maybe, you know, she comes back in the next one and she's, you know, even more in her prime, because they always say, you know, soccer players, closer you get to 30, you know, that's kind of your prime area. So maybe she comes back and has an absolute tear, because I'm also thinking the marketing behind this, she sits this one out. And let's say things do change and they get paid more. They're getting more respect. Well, now how much media hype does she get in the next one?
Yeah. I think if something comes of it that she wants it to, then she doesn't regret it, right? But if it's the same old, by the time the next one comes around, she might think, well, I do regret it, because now I've put myself in a position where, based off the precedents I've set, I should miss this one as well. And now I'm not going to get to play in the World Cup. And so...
Would Norway actually want her back in, though? Like, think about it. They've just qualified without her anyway. They've gone through European qualifiers without her being involved in any way, shape, or form. We've known about the fact that she wouldn't be involved since 2017. So if she wants to come back, would they actually open up the door and say, yes, please come on back? Despite the fact that, she might be the best player in the world at the moment. But would they actually say, yes, please come on back, we open up the doors for you, when in the hour of need that she decided to run away, kind of thing?
So this is the one time where I can turn this into a pro wrestling thing. And
far from the one time you can.
This one will actually make sense, okay? So we all know Stone Cold Steve Austin. And there's a famous night where after WrestleMania 19 that he, quote unquote, took his ball and ran home. He got upset. He didn't like the way things were going. Got on the plane right before a TV taping and went home. Stayed at home. Kind of like, you know, with Ada, you know, there's still this talk. We're all coming. What we're doing right now is what she's probably wanting. She wants us to talk about it. He was the same way. He wanted people to talk about, you know, what they were going through and how he wanted to make things better. And they always say in the entertainment industry, and that's what, you know, I always like Nick always brings up about, you know, in soccer, yes, it's an athletic event, but it's still entertainment at the same time. And what's going to make money? The best player in the world. And so you, majority of the time, you're going to have, I've always lived under the mindset of never say never, because you can say never, there's going to be a door that opens that you're going to be able to go back.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they wouldn't take her back, Pete. Just like, and again, I'm not in it. Like, and so, and you obviously, I mean, as much as you work with the women's stuff around you guys, you definitely are more well informed than I am. But I, as an athlete myself, like, I'm not in the situation, but like, we had a goalkeeper transfer away when I was a junior. And if he would have come back when he was a senior and said, like, hey, I'm coming back, like, he was the best goalkeeper at. Like, I want to win. Like, I would think.
That's a fair point, man. That's definitely a fair point. I just like to try and play devil's advocate when I can.
It's a good point.
And just throw it out, because, like I say, she hasn't been part of the qualifying at all leading up to this tournament. And – just whether or not they'd welcome her back with open arms.
But does she hold the deck now? And if they don't, so let's say they don't make it out of the group stage and they don't perform well. So yes, they can say we qualify without you, but if the games are close, she could come back and say you lost by one goal. I can provide you two goals in those games.
Yeah. I think the kind of the interesting scenario I keep running through my head is, what would be the conversation if Messi did this?
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Wait, sorry. Say that again, Sam.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, what would happen if this happened in the men's game?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, this is going to sound bad. I almost feel with the amount of crap that he gets in general, I think it would be exactly the same. Like, in terms of, like, I think, but here's the kicker. I think Argentina would curtail to whatever he wanted, where I don't think Norway's as willing to curtail to whatever Ada wants right now with this, just because, I mean, that's the difference between the men's and the women's game.
I don't think an Argentina gangster would be okay with it.
Say again, Sean?
I don't think an Argentina gangster would be okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, there might be other issues that...
Central American thugs, I don't think would appreciate him doing it.
No, but I think that it would not be a two-year thing if Messi was sitting out. I don't think it would be... I think they would do whatever they could to get him back, and that's... Right now, unfortunately, the difference between the men's and the women's game.
The amazing thing is she sat out for this long and she's still World Player of the Year. She hasn't even had to play international football.
I still would have voted for Sam Kerr. Sam Kerr is I'm biased because I'm Chicago and she's a Red Stars right now. But
You're saying that because Pete's here and she's Australian.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get on Pete's good side. That's all I ever try to do.
What's been your guys' favorite moment of the World Cup so far?
England.
That's shocking.
I should have known. Why aren't you on the team, Sam?
So fun fact, not about me. My sister was actually in U15 pool with Beth Mead. So
really?
About 75, well, no, I'll say 50% of those girls are all from, like, the area I'm from. So, like, before I came over to the States, like, me and Loudon trained with Jill Scott, like, because she went to Gateshead College, like, we went to. Carly Telford went to Gateshead College. The circle of women's football in England is so small, mainly because the country's small, that pretty much everyone knows everyone. So, like, my sister played with Demi Stokes and Beth Mead and I don't know Lucy Bronze very well, which is from the same area, and a lot of my friends played on the same team as I when we were at Sunderland. So, like, me and Loudon played at Newcastle while all those guys were at Sunderland. So it's kind of cool because it's just, like, I don't know, it's a little bit more investment because you've, like, while you actually know some of them, like, you just feel like, because so many of them are from the Northeast, you're like, go on.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Matt?
I don't know if it's my most memorable or my favorite moment, but the most memorable thing was that I can't remember her name. I'm sure you guys remember, but the defense number 3 for France.
Renault.
Yeah. Any team out there that's going to go to France has got to double team her. And it's crazy that she's the defender scoring that many goals. But with her being almost a foot taller than anybody else out there, it was nuts with those crosses in. She had 2 headers in.
This is the opportune time for me to say # set pieces. I love every World Cup that since we've done this show, because in the men's last one, there was a crazy amount of set piece goals in the first, like, 2 rounds.
Yeah,
and I loved it because everybody would tweet Nick every time a set piece goal would happen.
They still do, by the way. They still do. I still get tweeted at set pieces all the time. Like, look at my timeline. It's brutal.
What about you, Mike? What's been your favorite point in the World Cup so far? And keep in mind, like, for everybody who's listening, we're recording this on Monday night, so, like, the U.S. game hasn't happened yet. We're just going on what's happened these first few days.
Yeah.
So what about
for
you?
Me? Like,
what,
everything except for, what was it, Argentina and Japan today?
Yeah.
Yeah, only because that draw screwed up my bracket. I was perfect so far.
I love the fact every time a game would go over with, within, I'd say, 30 seconds, I get a tweet from Mike. Oh, still perfect so far. Still perfect. I got that one. I was wondering why it was pretty quiet that game.
I haven't even checked mine today. It's nuts. I've been meaning to. I've been running around too much.
Nick, what about you? What's been your favorite part so far besides the set piece?
Yes, absolutely. That was my least favorite part because now I get tweeted at all the time. I also thought the opening game was pretty cool. I'm going to start rooting against France once they start playing the United States or other teams that I like. But I'm always a big fan when the home team actually does well because, I mean, the opening game is just really cool. I like the way they do it where there's only one game on the first day and it's always the home team. It's just, I think it's a cool way to set up the World Cup, whether it's the men's or the women's World Cup. And the fact that France gave their, I think there was like 50,000 people there and like gave them a really good show. And you could tell like just how pumped they were to be doing that in front of their home crowd was awesome. And honestly, there hasn't been a ton of like super interesting games besides that. So I think that's probably the best one for me.
I was going to say, I agree. There hasn't been anything to really stand out so far.
What about you, Pete?
I think that you can't really have a World Cup until someone scored such a worldly goal that it becomes like the potential of goal of the tournament. So when France midfielder Henri scored that strike from about 30 yards out, finding the top corner and knocking the spiders out of the top corner there, that really set the tone straight away. So game one, France, top corners. That's where it really got things going. That's for sure for me. The other one was obviously like Italy. The fact that Italy played so attacking minded and really tormented the Australian defense. Like their strike force for Italy, their class. They time their runs and they're classy.
I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to offend you. But yeah, that one being a pretty early upset was interesting because I think it makes that group, which is a tough group, very interesting very early.
Well, that game was crazy because like the very opening kickoff, if I remember correctly, like instead of like playing it to the side or whatever, they just kicked it across the line and all of a sudden like eight Italian players just started going forward. And my wife made the comment like a couple minutes into the game before we had to leave, she made the comment I've never heard her say anything more soccer related in my life, but she's like, man, Italy's really throwing a lot of numbers forward. And I was like, you noticed that too. Like, it seems like they only have like two people back defensively. The thing that for me that I've enjoyed about the tournament is there's just so much attention on it compared before. It was always the only thing that every media outlet would talk about would be the US. And now we're talking about, you know, obviously with the Norway case, we're talking about that because of Nick, we're talking about Australia with Sam Kerr. And I think because of what we have going on with the NWSL, you have these players who are going across who are coming across seas to play, and we're hearing about it. And I got to give it up to Formiga. I mean, you're 41 years old playing in your seventh World Cup. In this World Cup, I believe they said it was 150 players who were in the World Cup were not even born in Formiga's first World Cup.
That's crazy.
So shout out to her. I mean, like, if you can still perform at that level at that age, like, this one's for you, Formiga.
She's been around as long as Matt.
Oh man, I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry.
No, bring it on. I'm good with it. That's fine.
But we mentioned this on the previous show, and it's, I think it's probably the thing I'm most excited about was, I think because of the rise of women's soccer in the U.S. and in England and in Brazil, and you're starting to see these traditional powerhouses that weren't that good in women's soccer, the Italy's, you know, the Argentinas are getting better. They're, you know, they still are, there are still ways to go, but they're getting better. You're seeing these countries start to take a little bit more initiative with those programs and put more effort into them. So I think for me, it's just kind of now we can honestly sit here and go, oh, you know, Italy's good on the men's side. They've got to be good on the women's side. So I'm going to pick them. And you can be right with it. But I for me, it's just, I think just the attention that's been on. I feel like this has been the most evenly talked about World Cup. because I feel like the Canada one was just straight. The U.S. had to make, had to do a play-in game to get in, and everybody still knew they were going to win. The one before that, we all everybody just the U.S. going to win, U.S. going to win, U.S. going to win. But now I feel like there's so, or at least in this tournament, there's so much like parity.
Well, I think they're not even necessarily like their favorites still, but I think it's not like Canada. I think the U.S. were clear favorites,
which was crazy because they like barely got in.
Right. But I think now, and I think especially with after like the She Believes Cup and stuff, like exactly what you just said, people are realizing that the other countries have made so many more strides to catch up with the U.S. that it's not just like, oh, we step on the field with the US and we're trying to limit the amount of goals that are going against. We're like, no, like teams got going out to beat them.
Well, I think the opening day, I feel like Alexi Lawless made the comment on the pre-show about this would be the first time in recent history that the US, everybody's not afraid of them.
Right. Yep.
Like every team is going to go and try to play them straight up because they're no longer afraid to play the US anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who do you reckon would be the team that people are afraid to play against now? So in this World Cup, who do you reckon is the team that has the target on their back that everyone wants to avoid?
Not Jamaica, because they didn't take Laura Jackson.
I don't know if there's specifically, like for me, I don't know if there's specifically one team that everyone wants to avoid other than, you know, like USA, Germany, France, and even England now. Everyone knows they're going to have tough games against them. But I don't know if it's like, oh my God, this team could destroy it. Like, I don't know if there's that one anymore.
Yeah, I mean, every team has like something where like, we can get, I mean, because France played so unbelievable, but you can get past their defense if you do it well. Like even South Korea was able to do it a few times. And I mean, every team has that thing that is, you're like, like they're not perfect. Like we can, we could probably find a way around that or through that at some point.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Every team, it's like she said, there's not one that specifically stands out, but every team has one thing that makes them good, but it's not overcomable. You know what I mean?
What would you say is the one thing the U.S. is lacking right now?
Defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's a huge difference between what our defense looked like this World Cup and what it looked like in 2015, where between, I mean, again, you can say what you want about Hope Solo as a person, as a goalkeeper, everyone was pretty confident when she was in net. And the back line that we had in the last World Cup was super reliable. And this World Cup, it's like, they could get exposed a little bit.
I think the goalkeeper area is something to be.
Are we going to become the old school Steve Nash Phoenix Suns where, you might score, 130 points on us, but we're going to score 134?
I mean, the way our offense has been playing,
that's the way
it looks. And all that matters is that you have more points than the other team.
And we're popping off like 4 goals a game.
I don't know if you guys.
Hey, as long as we can prevent the other team from scoring more than 4, we'll be all right. I just now thought about this, Nick, because you were talking earlier about the opening game, and it so reminded me the first true like opening game that I can remember was the South Africa one with the men's.
Oh, with Germany,
and just like how insane the South African fans were, and like what that was like the world's introduction to the Vuvuzelas, and how like that I feel like that set the standard for like opening night games. Like every country has to match that from here on out.
Oh, and Phil Lahm's opening goal in that one was just ridiculous.
Yeah. And I love the every time, what was it? Shabalala or something like that was his name. Every time he got the ball, the announcers would just scream his name every time. Yeah. And then he scored and the place went absolutely bonkers.
Oh, and that was a pill too.
Yeah.
Like that volley was ridiculous.
Very, very, very. As we stated earlier, we're recording this on Monday. The U.S. hasn't played yet. What do you think of the group stage games for the U.S.? What will be probably their toughest game?
Chile will cause some problems. Sweden will kind of put in a good battle, but I think Chile is probably going to be a dark horse. If someone's going to kind of pop up and surprise it's probably going to be that game there. So yeah, the second game.
I feel like Chile or Thailand would be the game where it'd be like, oh, like we can take this one off and be all right.
I think it's going to be Sweden.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's going to be interesting just because, again, we're in a group where you look at and like on paper, it's we should qualify with 9 points. And there is no way. I don't think there's any way we get all 9.
Hey, I thought the same with Australia. Don't worry, man. I thought the same.
What's been
I was thinking the only one that's going to really give us the competition is Sweden.
Yeah,
but. Yeah. I always have to go with Sweden. What's been the because we kind of asked this during the preview show, and now that we've got others who are on here. Who's a player in this tournament, and it could be from any team that you know of that you think people need to know more about?
I'll stick with
because like on a preview show, we kind of went through each team and said, okay, like here's a player to know from this group, or and we had put out the question on Twitter too, and I forget who it was said they thought Fran Kirby from England was the player that everybody needs to learn about, and that's kind of who I went with as well. But just even if it's an American player, like who's a player that's you don't think it doesn't get the true props that they should get?
Well, I think someone who's coming through when you go to like the England, other than Fran Kirby, who a lot of people are starting to know about, is probably Beth Mead.
How about you, Sam? What do you think?
She was on Beth Mead was on the cusp.
Sam is watching Love Island, I guess.
Oh, am I?
What is Love Island?
It's a show where Sam, are you there? Now I can hear you. Love Island is a stupid show that Sam watches. It's a reality show. Don't get into it.
Oh, trust me, I won't get into it.
Oh my God. Can Sam, you guys hear us? Yes, stop messing with your audio. I've got you.
Okay. I didn't know what was happening. I would go I've gone back to the England one. Fran Kirby, I think more people are talking about her, but I would say Beth Mead is one to watch, mainly because she was pretty close to not making it in the squad, and she's on the wing. She's got some pace, and she can whip a ball in, and if you watch the She Believes Cup, she scored a couple of crackers, and I think in the attack, she's definitely one to watch that people don't really know. I'm sticking with there's so many more players, but not a lot of people know who she is yet.
Are you the redheaded Fran Kirby?
Me?
Yeah.
No? No, I'm like the slow-ass Steven Gerrard.
That's good. That makes me hurt to cough. What about you, Matt? Who's the player that you want more people to check out?
I'm honestly not even sure. All right, I'm like you said before, I'm just glad it's so much more publicity going out for the whole tournament, because as a father of three girls, I've been doing the best I can to promote girls soccer, and it's still a struggle in our area to find a team, teams for the girls. So I'm really hoping that this helps bring the women's soccer again to another level.
I like your sign in the background, by the way.
Oh, mine, Kiss?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep. I just sat down on my computer. I got to catch my business sign to stop.
I like it. I like it. What about you, Mike?
I'm debating right now whether I sprint upstairs to grab my charger or my phone will die. So everybody realize this is killing my phone, but I also don't want to take you guys with me because my wife is sleeping and she'll wonder what the hell I'm doing. But I'm saying Tobin Heath. I know she's got a lot of attention, but I think she's going to be a monster for us.
I do believe as well. I think that she's one. Like I've had a couple of friends of mine that said, and Mike, if you want to go grab your charger, that's fine. We can hold
the floor. I'm doing that right now. Keep talking and having fun. I'll be right back.
Tobin Heath is a lot of my friends have called and said, hey, you know, I want to get my daughter a jersey. Who do I want to get? And that's actually the name that I've told everybody is Tobin Heath. And I'm like, she is just absolutely phenomenal. And she's young. She's going to be playing for the next couple of World Cups. So I definitely would go with her. What about you, Pete?
I'm going to go with a Aussie and say Emily Gilnick. She's probably one of my favorite right wingers, who can also play as a left winger. And look, she plays for Melbourne Victory here in Australia. She's also played over in America, I think for Ottawa a few years ago. She's played over in Japan and in Norway. And she's one of those players that just brings in something completely different to the Australian attack. She's tall, she's physical, she's strong, but she's not a starter at the moment. So she's one to keep an eye on, because once she's on the field, she makes a massive, massive difference.
Speaking of wingers, I think my favorite new player that I didn't know about before this World Cup, and I'm sorry, Sam, because this is a Scotland one.
I knew you were going to say that, and I don't like it.
She's got some swag. She got some Tobin Heath in her, which I really like. Claire Emsley. How do you say it? Is it Emsley? Emsley?
I couldn't tell you. I think it's the same one we're talking about. And it's not that I don't like her, but she got a lot of the ball against England. But I just felt like she tried too much on her own.
Yeah, but like that is kind of old school Megan Rapinoe, Tobin Heath that people didn't like initially, but then they figured out how to like balance that with being really productive simultaneously. Because that was a thing I think that people didn't always love about Rapinoe a few years ago and Heath a few years ago, where it was a lot of flair and not a lot of production. And now they found that balance where they're producing so much. Right. And so that's why she's still young. I think she was like 24 or 25. I looked up. And so I don't know. She kind of has swagger about her that I definitely liked.
Yeah. Was she the one who tried, like, I remember at some point in the game, she tried like a little like Ronaldo nutmeg and it just didn't work for her.
Yep. Yeah. And I liked it. Like she tried like the behind her own heel one.
Yeah. And it like messed up and I was kind of laughing, but I was like, that's good. Like it was brave of her to do that.
Yep.
Plus not a lot of, and I'm stereotyping, but I don't think a lot of women have the confidence to try something like that. It's usually your people like your Tobin Heath and your Megan Rapinoe. But yeah, I was laughing. But yeah, I think she stood out for Scotland, definitely.
I mean, she scored the goal. It was funny, right before it happened, I was watching the game with a friend of mine, and I turned to her and I was like, she had tried to play an early ball and her teammates looked pissed at, or no, she tried a shot.
And top corner from crossing it.
Yep. And her teammates looked kind of pissed at her. And I was, you guys haven't had a ton of chances. That was probably, I mean, there was 4-on-2 in the box. I mean, it wasn't a bad chance. And then she scored right afterwards. I was pretty happy because it was like her teammates can't be that much pissed.
Yeah. I remember that.
Who is who's someone that you may have seen in a game, or you may have seen the pre-shows hype up about, but who's somebody that you want to know more about? For me, there's an American player that I legit have no knowledge of, and I feel really bad for that, but I want to know more about Abby Dahlkemper. There's just, I don't know what it is, just like hearing people talk about her, and I've never seen her play. She's the one to me that like I want to know more about her.
Yeah, I mean, she had an interesting story to get here. I forget exactly what it was, but yeah, she had kind of a weird route to, I think she didn't get called up, I want to say until like late 2017 to the women's national team. She had a weird route to get here. But yeah, no, she's definitely one that would be interesting to learn about.
What about you, Mike?
Who was the wasn't there like some 15-year-old kid on the Jamaican team? I think I was watching something and she was really young, like obscenely young, and plays with the boys, and you know, one of the little snippets that they put on beforehand, and I never heard of her before, and I was trying to pick her out on the pitch, but I'm thinking, man, she seemed pretty cool. You know, that's pretty awesome.
Was it the goalie or defender that's like a freshman in college?
Somebody goal, I think was
the goalie young like in Alabama, Birmingham or something.
Yeah, because wasn't that
the captain?
Yeah,
was that the captain?
Yeah, the captain's like a freshman in college or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Jamaica's on my bad list. I don't care what anybody says. I will hold that over them. That they didn't take Looky there, Bobby Papione.
I don't even know what this thing is.
Well, you're on, man. That's all
neither,
that matters.
Neither do we.
What's going on, Bobby?
I'm watching the Warriors versus the Raptors.
We're trying to too. Sean's making us do this. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Sean.
Well, Bobby, we're talking soccer and about the World Cup. Do you want to talk with us?
I'd be more than happy to talk about that.
So the question that we just threw out was, who's a player that you want to know more about that's playing in the World Cup?
Oh, good one.
So I said for me, just even go, I feel bad that I don't know enough about some of our own players. But for me, like, I want to know more about Abby Dahlkemper. And then Mike mentioned there were a couple of players from Jamaica that he wanted to know more about. So who's somebody that you've seen maybe the media talk about, or you've seen maybe in a game, like, I want to know more about that player?
I would say, just from watching today's game, the number 10 from Argentina. She was the captain. I just like to know more about her story. They talked about her some, but I don't remember her name. It's
Stefania Bonini, I believe it is.
Bonini or Stefania something. Stefania Bonini.
Yeah.
So,
what about you, Matt? Who do you want to know more of?
Yeah, that's the same one that we were talking about earlier. I can't remember her name. The youngest captain.
From Jamaica.
Yeah. Because I like to hear those stories of how, because that's one of the reasons why I coach JV. I'm trying to, you know, help kids on the right path. So I'd like to hear how the younger kids get to that level that quick.
Yeah, for sure. Sam, what about you?
I think just the women's teams outside of the big ones in general, you know, like, I would love to have like a kind of a pre-World Cup show where they kind of go through it. Like, they did a great little piece today before the Canada game on Janine Becky. But I know, like, people know her because she plays in the NWSL, but there's a lot of girls who are in the World Cup who don't play in the NWSL, and I'd love to find out about kind of, you know, like, the Cameroon teams and what those girls are doing and where they play and how they make ends meet and kind of the players who aren't already big time.
Yeah, I would definitely go with that. Bobby, what's been your favorite moment or favorite thing that you've seen so far in the World Cup?
Ooh, favorite thing. I do like the 95th minute winner from Italy
Pete.
Against Australia.
We're sorry, Pete. Don't hold it against us.
It was a good goal, man. Like, it is what it is. It was a good goal. Italy deserved it. And Australia had horrific defending in the, like, final moments of the game. So, yeah, I definitely understand it.
Yeah.
My goal is to get Pete and Bobby together, because I think they would be absolutely amazing to be together. That's that. But
when are we gonna?
Pete is the Australian Bobby Papione.
I don't know if I'm that cool to be someone else's someone, but, you know.
We just made it happen. We just made it happen. So there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's official now. Well, it's official.
Well, the girl that scored the game winner for Italy plays for Juventus, so that also held a special place in my heart. So
there's always
not only is she Italian, but she plays for Juventus. So it's been a good year for her. She won the Serie A, and now she scored the game winner in the World Cup. So.
What's something that, because like we said, you know, we're recording this on Monday, and this comes out on Thursday, which is my actual birthday. What is something that you're looking forward to in the next couple of weeks? Obviously, all the opening games from the groups are in. What is the question that's on your mind of, okay, this has happened in the first week. What's needed to be done for? So let's say this. What is, because we don't know what happened in the U.S. game. But what does the U.S. have to do to maintain that just high intense level of quality play that, you know, as we kind of talked about in the previous show that Nick and I said, like, that that potential France game in the quarters is going to be really tough. So what does the U.S. have to do to get themselves on a good note going forward?
Yeah,
and knowing they're recording this, they probably won like 7-0.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, they got to go with their game plan and the way they want to play. I mean, people will criticize any team about how they play and it's not perfect. Whatever their plan is, sounds very basic, but whatever their plan is, they need to execute that plan and all believe in it. And I know that's a team that believes in each other and believes in what they can do. So they need to believe in their plan and go with it, and just be staying healthy, have a good mindset, and know that there's going to be some ups and downs. And I wouldn't be looking at France whatsoever. They need to just focus on this next game. It's very basic and it sounds, you know, like it's the most obvious advice, but you definitely need to just play one game at a time, because I sent out something earlier today after watching, you know, the games, and I saw people on Twitter saying, oh my gosh, this game should be a blowout. And I've coached in international games before with club, and then fortunately, you know, with some youth teams, and for US, no international games are easy. Like, and so the US, just like every team, needs to focus on just that game only. No international games are easy. Everything presents a different challenge, and just focus on that game only and move on to the next step, because the moment you start looking ahead is you're going to drop some points, and, or, you know, you're going to have something come up, or you're going to lose some rhythm. Just focus on what's ahead. But I mean, I think obviously we have a potent, you know, front three and amazing subs off the bench to come in, you know, for our front three. And I think we have some of the best midfielders in the world. And, you know, obviously there's been some questions about the back line, but in the end, you know, we still have some of the best players in the world for sure. And we're one of those teams to beat. And I think we just need to be confident in ourselves and not be looking over our shoulders at anybody else. Just focus on us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nick.
No, from what I've heard, I've heard a few former players talk about this. Getting that first goal in the World Cup is one of the most important things. Just making sure that you set the tone pretty early. And once you get that first goal, it kind of just, it's a relief, you know, you're there and someone got it and everything else can go from there. And so I think that's one of the things that, I mean, when we watch the game tomorrow, and again, we're recording Thursday, but on Tuesday, I think that's one of the things that just has to happen early. I think we have a good draw for it where we can get some momentum going pretty early and just get some people. I mean, again, forwards rely on momentum a lot. And so getting someone hot pretty early in the World Cup would be pretty good.
What about you, Mike? What's the U.S. need to focus on going forward?
No, I agree with what Bobby said. I think everybody's looking at this first game is going to be a blowout. But I think, you know, it, no matter what, you always have those initial nerves and jitters. And they've got a good mix of older players, but the younger players are going to be on the big stage. So I think getting the result and like Nick said, is huge. Like if they can get a goal in like the first couple minutes, and then they're going to be rolling.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can repeat anything what anybody else said. You know, I think the most important thing, getting up and getting on top first as quick as possible. And, you know, like what Bobby was saying, you know, don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Make sure we're playing our game. We're strong on the front line. Just blow it out. You know, score as many goals as possible. Like we said earlier, you know, if they score 130, as long as we score 131, we're good.
And I'm gonna switch it up for Sam and Pete. Pete, what does Australia got to think about going forward?
Geez, so much that's going on. We got lots of things to try and tidy up as well. But I guess one of the biggest things is just going to be avoiding the information overload, keeping the game as simple as possible, because the game can get really, really complex. So if we kind of just keep the game as easy to flow, then things will come naturally. Like there's enough quality. As you guys have said, there's Sam Kerr up front who's leading the line and she's absolutely dominating. Then you've got players like Caitlin Ford on the wings. And if you just keep the game as easy as possible to go, then that's where you're going to be successful.
And I guess we got to give a big shout out to Sam Kerr for doing the Tim Cahill celebration. I saw that he tweeted about it. I was pretty pumped about that.
It was pretty cool. The fact that, like, what was it, 2006 World Cup, Tim Cahill does that celebration. And then we've got Sam Kerr doing the exact same for her first World Cup goal as well. So, yeah, cool little moment.
You also.
And he had the same in the Italians as well. So, 2006, Italy, Australia, Italian player puts the thumb in the mouth to do that goal celebration. And then the Italian striker did the exact same thing. So, you know, lots of links.
And then Sam, what about England? What do they got to focus on going forward?
I think England are pretty confident in their abilities, but I think a lot of people are going to have, you know, players like Nikita Paris and Fran Kirby kind of tagged as ones to watch. So I think other teams, like scouting reports, are going to go against them. So I think really focusing on, like, you know, players like Ellen White and the other, like Jill Scott and Beth Mead and the other centre mids, and even people like Lucy Bronze, if we can get her, and get the people who everyone on focusing on involved, because Ellen White can score goals. She just needs some consistency and to pop a few in the back of the net, and she can be deadly.
What is, from the coaching aspect, what is something that you're watching in these games that you're picking up for your own, like, coaching ideas and philosophies?
For me, nothing so far. I've just been watching as a pure fan at this point. Me, I'm not good at, like, I'm either one or the other. I'm either watching a game to watch it tactically, or I'm either watching a game for fun. Like, sometimes I'll pick up things, but, like, if I'm watching it as a fan, it's hard for us to, like, really focus on, you know, that other stuff of, okay, what can I pick up from this? Maybe it's just a me thing, but I don't know how anyone else is on that front.
The Fox tactical cam views are awesome.
Yeah.
I put it on the app and watched that one, and it's awesome. I love seeing that. And there's been some different people on Twitter that have then used, like, Coach Paint to break some stuff down from that vantage point, and it's been awesome. So I really enjoy just seeing that, because you can see different variations of build up, how they defend, how they press, you know, midfield movement and rotation and interchange.
So watch that at US games. They'll do it on the ESPN Plus or whatever it is.
Yeah, I also haven't seen an attempt at a right back center mid from any of the teams yet.
So. Oh gosh, we'll get into that in a little bit. What about you other guys? What is something that either you're looking at from a coaching standpoint, or you're wanting to try to see from a coaching standpoint?
For me, from a coaching standpoint, I didn't even realize how big of a part, you know, set pieces are in a long tournament like this. I don't even know why they didn't pay attention to it. It's like I wasn't even watching a World Cup until last World Cup. But anyway, I'm trying to figure out how I can transfer that to my JV squad, because it's only a 2-month season, and maybe I can pick up something else on set pieces. I don't know. That's mine.
Email me or DM me. I got you.
You don't need to appease Sean. You're already on here. He's gonna put it out.
All you gotta do is DM me or send me a text. I got you on the set pieces, man.
Got you.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, Mike, you can do it as well.
I need that.
What's been, you know, Mike was telling earlier about, you know, he had his game get rained out, and like I had club trials today. What's kind of been the thing that you've done this week, or you've got coming up for your own coaching wise, or in your own coaching life right now, that you guys have coming up this week, or maybe something you're excited that's something that's coming up? Yeah, go ahead, Matt. Thank you for raising your hand.
I didn't know what. Every time he asks a question, everybody talks, and I didn't. Anyway, so we're starting a new club in this area, and I'm going to be the sports performance director.
Nice.
So, and that all starts this week. We're starting off with summer training, and starts this week. We're doing a 2 nights a week just for the summer. And then rolling right into the season in the fall. We've got more kids than we have coaches, so it's awesome. And it's one of those things where I'm in my dream position, because I've wanted to do conditioning training all the time, because I love conditioning training. And to be able to be the director for just that, just for the whole club, is a dream come true, essentially. So, yeah, that starts this week. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Mike?
I just, we had a club team that they ended up releasing the coach. So I sort of got an email saying, hey, you're going to take over this team for the rest of their season. And the parents weren't really happy with the way things were going. And it was kind of set up to be kind of poor, and everything worked out great. The parents were fantastic. The kids were amazing. We finished the 9 games with them and had 2 losses. And I'm getting all the emails that they're coming back, and it looks like that team's going to be stronger for next year. So that was about to go away, and it's not now. So I'm excited about that. That was ended this weekend for us.
What about you, Pete? Look at Pete. Pete, are you heading to training?
Yeah, I'm about to go get in the car and get off to training. Yes.
Oh, so we'll let you ride off into the sunset.
Pack up
man.
The car and
so sunny. That's
all right. That's awesome. Well, yeah, man.
Look at that Australian
it's
weather.
It's meant to
man.
Be winter, and yet, like, it's what we got.
That's absolutely incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what, the cool thing to answer that question, for me, I've got kind of a couple of cool things coming up. So tonight I'm working with our club's under 11 players. So it'll be a great opportunity to kind of work with younger players who I haven't had a whole lot of interaction with lately. So it'll be cool to kind of work with them on some of the core skills, 1v1 and first touch and that kind of stuff. So hopefully we can relive the moment where Italy actually scored their first goal of Claire Balkinghorn trying to play out, looking over her shoulder and doesn't actually realise the Italian striker's there. So we could have a quick little gaze at that before training. And other cool thing is in 2 days' time, I'm about to jump on a plane to Ireland to start my UEFA B. So quite keen about doing that.
Congratulations.
Sam, do you got
Thank
any
you.
Advice for him? You got any advice for him as he goes to Ireland?
I've never been to Ireland.
You've never been to Ireland?
My grandma is 100% Irish, and I've never had the chance to visit Ireland, but I'm trying to visit Northern Ireland this Christmas and do the Game of Thrones tour.
Nice. I'll let you know how it goes. Yeah, and I'll tweet all about it. So there you go. So there's that.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, Pete, man, we'll let you get off to training in your Australian time zone over there. And thanks so much for coming on, dude.
Legend. Thanks very much. Enjoy your birthday. And thanks for the chat, guys.
Thank you. We'll do some late night. Well, late night for me, Australian Rules football DMing again.
Done. Peace out. See you, folks.
We'll see you, Pete. I know, Bobby, you said that you got to get out of here too. So if you just kind of want to tell everybody where they can catch you at on Twitter and all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, this is fun. I just got to go and talk to one of our coaches that I said I'd call during halftime of the Warriors game. So I'm from Oakland, so this is my hometown team. But anyway,
shout out, Clint Coach.
Yeah. So you can reach me on Twitter at Bobby Pup, BobbyPup. And I know that Nick will appreciate this. I get this weird DM from this guy with red hair named Lawless or something, still wanting a selfie with me.
Hey!
You know.
Just hold out. Don't let him have it. He's got to earn that.
No, especially after some of the commentating I've heard. So, yeah. He keeps reaching for one, saying he's missing out, and I can't do it without you guys, so it's not going to happen.
Well, Bobby, before you also get out, I want you to know that we made it the entire time, and not once did we mention the other Pupioni. We gave you your shine.
Well, thank you. Well, she's traveling back from various camp experiences the past week and a half, so she'll be returning to the household in the next 24 hours or so. The boys' time of me and Charlie, our Great Dane Black Lab, are soon gone. So we got to go clean up that.
I nearly mentioned her because I met her for the first time at Camp Elevate, and we had the best time.
I try to give Bobby as much shine as I can.
Yeah, she is a lot more fun than I am. But, you know, we had a good boys week and a half, me and the dog here. So we have to go clean up our mess before she gets home. So.
That's true grown man stuff right there, Bobby.
That's right. A man and right. His dog. So.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, take care, fellas and lady. And well, I'm not going to say fellas for everyone. I got to give you a special shout out.
That's fine. So, I don't get offended by that.
No, well, you know, I don't want to offend. So But no, happy early birthday. Well, official birthday as everyone's hearing this. But yeah, take care, everyone. And talk soon.
We'll see you later, Bobby. And as Bobby and Pete leave, Dan comes on. Dan, unmute that microphone, my man. Yeah. What's going on?
Oh, it's water ski season. So soccer tryouts and then go down and water ski on the river for a while and get back home at 9 o'clock and do it all over again the next day.
What a life. How do I sign up for that?
You just got to make the drive over this way. We'll put you on a pair of skis. Put a kid on top of your shoulders and go.
Well, I don't know if I can go that far. I don't know if I can go that far, but I'm willing to give the skis a try.
So, Evan, Anna just got the river water walk.
There's the celebrity right there.
Oh, I guess she hasn't showered yet. So,
you're going right back into the river tomorrow, so you'll be all right. So since you have Anna here and Dan, what have been your guys' favorite moment of the World Cup so far?
You know, I'll be honest. We haven't been able to watch a whole lot yet.
Because we're water skiing the whole time.
Yeah. you know, and then we were on the road up to Minnesota this weekend for the USC goalkeeper 1 and 2. So that took up a lot of drive time and a lot of classroom time. But catch tomorrow's match at 11. So.
and also too that we have both of you on here. Nick and I actually were talking about this the other night. Your guys' like involvement in the game and everything is just like so incredible. Like, give everybody like your guys' background and like, because I mean, not only is your daughter playing, but she's involved in reffing, she's doing the coaching stuff as well. Like, just what's your guys' story? Like, because what I see on social media, like, I'm inspired and I love it. So, like, just gotta give everybody your guys' background.
Well, I think a lot of it is you know, we've been able to enjoy the game from all levels. And we were kind of talking about it recently, like, you know, as a player, she probably won't make that world stage. Mm-hmm. And we're okay with that. but then it comes down to this, like, Anna, show me any other 13-year-old that loves the game from every angle the way that you do. And I think there's just this thirst that when you learn something, you're able to share it and try it. And, it's funny. Even tonight we were at the YMCA for, her little brother's swim lessons and a girl that she's repped a lot for comes over and visited with her for a few minutes. So it's been a hoot, but, we didn't do a whole lot of soccer in Michigan. And then 3 years ago, we moved out to Iowa and she just connected with a coach that had the passion and showed her the love for the game.
That's so cool. And while you sit here and say she may not be on the world stage one day, your guys' pictures and what she's doing is on the world stage. Cause when all of social media is seeing it, like that's the world stage right there. Like more people can see that than people that can watch TV. So like Anna, everything that you're doing is like so incredible and I love it.
Yeah, there was that quote that Corey Rockwell had put out this weekend too, and it was just kind of this, you know, talking about this referee family, and you know what other place can someone connect with just an idol of the sport and have them as an advocate for them?
Yeah, and then we try to give as much shout out to referees as much as possible, and like what you guys are doing is awesome, and I love it. What's been Riley DeRosa was trying to get on. Oh my goodness. I'll have to work with her on how to get on here. What's been kind of, you know, in Soccer Chat, you know, we're approaching, you know, next episode's 100. What's been maybe a favorite episode or like a favorite thing that you liked from the Twitter chats or the podcast?
You know, I think for us and Anna's being a little shy and always nervous about picking that one special moment, but it's just been natural and organic and it's been real, and people haven't held back, and you know they've been honest and you've had fun with it. You know, there's been times where we hear something and then we kind of chuckle in the car and talk through it a little bit, or just oh, he probably shouldn't have called them that or said it in that way.
Like whenever we say due to girls, is that what you're trying to get at?
Oh, exactly. We have a good time calling you out on that one.
I'm thankful for that. Yeah. Everybody catches me on that.
No, but it's all in fun, and you know, even when we've talked to other even rec coaches that are looking for podcasts to start listening to, it's like there's those very technical podcasts out there, but yours is like sitting around and just visiting with friends.
Mm-hmm. We gotta give a big shout. We got somebody else that just hopped on. Rally DeRose, what's up?
Hello, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. So Rally has like been non-existent in our lives since we recorded her episode.
She's like one of the I think she was like the first 10.
Yeah, she was in the first 10. Yeah. And for the longest time was like the most listened to episode. Wow. Yeah. Maybe your dad had something to do with that. I don't know. he probably saw it and sent it around to everybody. He's like, oh, you got to listen to her. Rally, I feel like we haven't talked to you in like 10 years.
You know, you feel like you haven't, but I've been listening to you guys almost every week.
You have?
Yeah.
That fills my soul. You have no idea.
No, absolutely. You guys are doing a great job. So I might not be, I guess I'm live now, but I might not be existing all the time, but I'm listening. I promise.
That fills my heart so much. And Clifton Bush is in the house joining us now. Clifton, what's up, man?
Yeah, hey, just doing the happy birthday thing. Wanted to, hop on here and say my hellos.
Oh, well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much. So we're kind of open up the question for those that just hopped in. What's been your favorite Soccer Chat moment, whether it's been a podcast episode or maybe a discussion that was on Twitter? Just open up for a discussion. Maybe Matt or Mike or Sam, what's kind of been your guys' favorite show or maybe Twitter moment that we've had? Michael's probably going to say when I was on the show and everybody thinks that I'm this like massive kickboxing MMA legend. Which is true. It's not a lie. It's true.
Actually, I think my favorite is like the get together at the convention.
Yeah.
Because this was a great thing that was just started over social media and everyone got to know each other but would never really met. So when we actually got to put like faces to names, like it's unbelievable the amount of, and I mean it's not that many people who I've met so far, but I mean getting to know like I knew Ellis from Twitter and then I met him through this, and like Ellis has like met me mom at Christmas,
so. Whoa, you guys are getting pretty heavy.
Yeah, like Ellis has been to Newcastle and all that, and then like obviously I went to the Camp Elevate with Monia, and that was great, and she was just someone I knew from Soccer Chat, so actually getting to meet everyone in person and make those connections through something as simple as this. It's almost ingenious what you guys have created.
Well, I'm just here for the ride.
Don't say that.
Was I not here when Cliff popped on? Hi, Cliff.
Yes, you were not here when
Cliff popped on. I mean, at this point, I'd have to say my favorite moment is like actually seeing like the number of times I've been on here and never seen Nick's face.
Now it actually works. I put out the tweet, Nick's camera is actually working, and all of a sudden everybody's starting to pop on.
I literally have never seen Nick's like the fact that he actually like lives in a house and like is somewhere and that, you know what I mean, like you just think of Nick as like just roaming the like streets, like just randomly with a phone and a microphone around, but like the fact that he's there and you can actually see him, I would say is probably the most spectacular thing that's ever happened.
He normally records from his local Dairy Queen.
Yeah. That's
tell us that too.
You're that guy. You're that weird guy at the DQ at 11 o'clock at night. But this is special for me. I don't know about you guys, but this is special for me.
Now, I just thought about this now that we're on here. Rally and Sam, I want you guys to become good friends. I think you guys would really like get along, and you guys can tweet each other and like send stuff back and forth.
Okay. Perfect. Well, I'll be honest. Like this is like the first time I've ever like seen her or met you over like Twitter or any of this, so it's new to me as well.
You should go back and listen to Rally's episode.
I need to. I feel like I must have because I started from the very beginning when I started listening. But we're on 99 now, so
yeah. It's getting up there. I can't remember. I was actually just thinking when Rally texted me that she was trying to get on. It made me go back. So that was like 2 years ago because it was one of our first ones. And I had just gotten to camp in Chicago and had to like get an early check into a room so I could get Wi-Fi and like try to get connected on with Rally and Nick, and we made it work. And then we got done. I was like, I have like till tomorrow till I have to do anything for camp. Like, what am I going to do with my life? And then I just happened to run out that night with Don Crow, Ian Wilson, Cliff Jordan, and Bianca. And that was the first night that I met all of them. So if it wasn't for like getting early done with Rally and her episode, I would have never met like our like OG crew or whatever. But yeah, what about the rest of you guys? What's been your like soccer chat moment?
That has been pretty cool with being able to meet everybody. I was at FC Delco, and in the moment of about 10 minutes, Rudy from Lackawanna College saw me and said, "Hey, Coach Mistmer," and I'd never seen him before, but we go back and forth on Twitter.
Wow.
And then Coach Schaefer looks at me and he goes, "Coach Mistmer," and he comes over, and the next thing out of his mouth is, "Hey, your bathroom looks amazing." And my assistant says, "Does he like come to your house?" I said, "No, that's just from Twitter. Like I'm redoing my bathroom. So it's taking me like 6 years. I just keep putting pictures up. So it's like, you know, everybody."
I love it. What about you, Matt? Yeah, let's see. Let's get.
He's muted.
Yeah, there you go.
I was thinking about it. I've been listening to the shows for about 6-7 months or something like that. I can't remember. I haven't been in the chat for a while. And I was thinking about it, and I'm not even going to lie. The one thing that keeps standing out of my mind is, and I just looked at it on Twitter right now, the 15-minute conversation we had right before we went live about the hat.
That is a good one from our group text. Matt brought up a very good point for coaches and even referees who get that sunburn. Like, what hat do you wear to prevent that? And I had mentioned I don't wear a lot of hats when I coach, but I normally wear a normal hat. But the picture that I used for the birthday party episode, that was a special hat that I bought at a country club that I was just like, that's going to be my summer hat to block the sun.
And it was just a random question. I didn't even expect a conversation to come out of it, but it just so happened that before we went live, we had like a 10-15 minute conversation about different types of hats.
So. And that's the cool thing. Like, so many people, some of you guys brought up convention, like all these Twitter conversations that we've had with people and then meeting them face to face and bringing up those Twitter conversations. So like, I'm sure, you know, Matt, if I ever run into you, I'm gonna be like, "Yo, have you gotten a hat yet?" Or if Sam runs into you, she's going like, "Oh my gosh, like you've been coaching since I was 4 years old." Just like all the stuff, like creates the stuff. And I love that so many people, especially at Chicago, we all like met up at various places and it was like we knew each other already. And there was no like interaction, like, "Oh, hey, I'm Sean," or "Hey," mostly everybody came to me and was like, "Where's Nick at?"
I feel bad because I'm a hugger and I don't know if anyone else is. So like I'm walking up to all these people that have never met me before in person. I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'm just going to give you a big hug."
It's been super cool. What about you, Dan and Anna, if she's still there, or just Dan?
Yeah. So Anna decided it was time to get the river out of her hair. So she's like, "Dad, can I go shower?" I'm like, "Absolutely." But I think it's been fun to, throw on a podcast in the car and then meet someone. Like the one time we're driving up to Stevens Point for an ID camp and we get there and right away Anna's like asking Don Crow, "Hey, who's your girl that sings the Disney songs?" Because she remembered pulling that out of the episode. And, I think Clifton Bush, we listened to yours on a competing podcast that I won't mention here, but, you know, right away.
Yeah.
We like Gary Green. We're okay with Gary.
Gary seems very at work. The guys have always been very, very kind with my Gary Green affiliation. So.
WSL Rewind on the Gary Green Network.
I go back to when we met up at convention and I mean, here we are as, you know, a dad and daughter wanting to get more involved in the game and not sure what that's going to look like. And, you know, should we go to convention? Will it be good for us? And sure enough, at the end of the day, we catch you guys as you're finishing up with Dave and Beast Mode. And I don't know, we visited with you 20 minutes or something in the hall at the end of the day. And you guys were so generous with your time and wanting to get us connected and making recommendations and talking about camps that you enjoy working and what to look forward to. And now Anna's going, all right, if I get 100 juggles this summer, Dad, next year for Christmas, can we go back to convention?
Ooh.
And it's like, let's make it happen. So, you know, I should have added the caveat that, well, you know, someone else has to get their 100 hours in on tech.
Hey, Nick. 100-hour challenge while eating pizza, ice cream, and drinking beer.
I honestly, like, I don't know if I'm ready for that much soccer. I'm not that good anymore.
It doesn't matter if you're good anymore. It's about doing it and taking a challenge and getting those awesome socks from Laura.
That's true. I do want those awesome socks.
Clifton, what's been going on with you, man? We ain't heard from you in a minute. I feel like you're, like, just as much of the co-host as Nick and I.
Yeah. I think it's crazy. Like, the new job is nuts. So I think I mean I was prepared but wasn't prepared for life as a head coach now, so it's like just an animal that's taken over. So
is anyone ever really prepared for any job that they get?
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's it's weird, like, because I've always thought, okay, I'm just gonna be an assistant, I'm good. But I always felt like I was ready for this job. The one thing that I don't think you can prepare for is, like, the time drain. Like, everybody is like, hey, can we meet? Can we meet? Can we talk? Can we meet? I had to go, like, no, just, like, leave me alone. You know? Like, but there's nobody else that they could meet with. So I guess I have to do it, you know? So it's, but, like, that, it's been great, though. I mean, I've enjoyed every second of it, but it has been a pretty big time consuming scenario. So I hop on Wednesday nights and kind of check it, you know, check and see what the questions are and see what a couple of answers might be and see and just kind of keep it connected and keep a podcast going here or there. So
you basically do on Wednesday nights what Sam does, except
I was just waiting to say something, Sean.
Yeah, that's me. I'm kind of a lurker these days, you know, just to try and get the bandwidth that way and trying to make sure that I keep up on the World Cup stuff. So, but everything else has been, you know, watching you guys continue to grow this thing. It's an amazing feat, I will say, as somebody who, you know, I think we did 26 episodes last year for the Rewind. I have no idea how you guys do it. You guys are absolute, like, machines. Because there is so much to do and to keep this going and the network and the podcast and all that stuff. You guys are, I tip my hat to you, because
there are days where I wish I had Nick's job where I could just show up.
I think we all wish we had Nick's job. Isn't that the point?
I don't wish I have my job all the time.
But. if I could just show up to the party with my, like, 7 beers and just talk soccer, I think I would be really cool with that.
That would be a great job.
Yeah, I'm
which is what, like, Nick does every single week. Nick.
Well, Nick, if you ever need a replacement, I could do that. I mean, just let Sean do all the work. Sean's
been looking for a while, if we're being honest. So, like, everybody's like, God dang it, this kid again. All right, fine.
So if you want to direct, produce, write my podcast as well, like, I'll take that as well. If you want to do, you know, if you want to do 2, that'd be fine.
Look, if you guys are willing to, like, pay me to do this for the rest of my life, like, I will. I think my wife would be really happy about that.
Oh, I think it's coming. I think it's coming. As good as you guys do, you deserve it for sure.
Rally, what's been your favorite show so far, since you're such an avid listener?
You know, I'm not just saying this because it was this morning, but I really liked listening to the podcast from back in January with Randy. So I listened to that this morning, and I actually played some parts over in the office today, and we, like, took notes and walked through some things.
It was really
informative. And that's just the most recent I have to say. Of course, that has been really productive for me, but there's been so many others. I really liked the episode with Don Crow. I know I asked Nick for the notes after that, and he gave them to me, and it was something that, like, we had talked about probably, like, 2 weeks prior with our team, some of the points that she touched on, and so it was so relevant. And I think that that's one of the greatest parts of this podcast, is I get to hear from so many coaches across the country. Like, they could be in a different time zone. Obviously, a lot of you guys probably are in a different state, as many of you guys are too. But you get to just hear things, take ideas, see what you like, and just add them to your own coaching philosophy or just your own, I guess, arsenal of knowledge. It's been great. So
you missed it earlier. Pete from Australia was in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he had to leave to go to training. Everybody, oh, man, it's so sunny there.
Oh. Yeah, it's finally getting sunny up here, but I wish we had probably more of their sun recently.
Well, how's, you know, we kind of talked to you in your episode, like right when you got to Brown. That's kind of happened since then.
Yeah, since then, I mean, still at Brown, still loving it. We're heading into now what was going to be our entire staff's fourth season. So we're really excited. We've got 10 girls coming in, and we returned 5 all Ivy players. So
nice.
You know, we have a lot to look forward to. And, you know, we're taking our team to the World Cup at the end of the month. So that's been something that we've been preparing for, too, just getting all the girls ready to go. And whatnot, but we leave on the 30th and we're going to the semifinals and the finals.
Ooh.
So yeah. I've never been to a World Cup game, men's or women's, and none of our girls have either. So
and she's really totally gonna fangirl the entire time, walk around going, oh my god, oh my god,
oh my god, yes. Yeah,
I'm so jealous that you'll get to watch England lift the World Cup.
Oh my god,
I'm going home.
I still can't believe it. Like I still think I'm living in a dream when I'm like, oh, I'm going to France in a couple of weeks. It's unbelievable. I'm so lucky. I don't know how. I'm so excited. But yeah, so everything's been really great. I really love it here. And we're really excited for the season. I guess I can't stress that enough. But it's gonna be an exciting one for us for sure.
Well, make sure you hit up David Copeland Smith because he's going. He actually left today because he's going to the semifinals and the finals.
So oh, wow.
You
guys
are, Questionable. Do what?
He was flying Spirit, I saw, which is questionable.
International?
It was at least a connection. Yeah.
I think that was up to Tucson or something, wasn't it?
Was it just hopefully? My God.
Okay, you guys make me scared. So, like, I'm not much of a flyer. And when we get back from North Carolina and I work Don's camp, I'm flying from Chicago to LA and the flight that I got put on was Spirit. And when I saw David's tweet, I was just like, okay. Oh, I'm scared now.
They're going to charge you to go to the bathroom.
Solid. Okay.
They do charge for like almost everything else.
Yeah.
Quality.
I came back. I flew back, went to Vegas last month and I flew back on Spirit. They charged the most for every little thing. I mean, him saying that they're going to charge you to go to the bathroom, I really thought they were going to, like, take a dollar from me when I went to the bathroom.
Note to self.
Bring cash.
Those seats are, like, legit cafeteria seats, and then they tried to make them look special by putting a bit of fake leather on them, and I'm just like, what's the point?
So my thing was, like, I'm not paying for my flight, and I didn't want the person who was paying for it to like spend out the wazoo. So I was just like, oh, like this one looks like it's decent. It's only just like a quick trip out there. So I know coming back though, I have, I think United. So like, I guess like, I just got to get,
if you make it back.
Yeah.
You got to make it to the return flight.
That is very, very true. And I'm flying on the 4th of July back. So like that could be interesting.
At night.
No, I made sure of that. I was like, I'm not flying at nighttime. I'm trying to make sure that I get, I think my flight back to, I connect in Phoenix and then fly from Phoenix straight to Evansville. And I get back to Evansville at 3 so I can like go out fireworks and then I have to turn around the next morning and leave for Atlanta. And yeah, that's life. My Twitter is going to be in, my Twitter and Instagram are going to be insane. Literally, this Friday, so tomorrow when this comes out on Thursday, tomorrow I leave for North Carolina. I'll be gone until next Saturday. As soon as we get back to our home late Saturday night, I train out at 8 a.m. on Sunday to go up to Don's camp. I go from Don's camp to Chicago for a night, fly out to L.A., stay there for 6 days, come to my house for like 7 hours, go to Atlanta for 6 days, come back to my house for like 3 days and then go to Chicago for camp. And then it's like, oh, school starts. Cool. All right. Glad summer's over. Yay.
When you're in ATL, let me know. Cause I'm in ATL from up until the 10th.
Well, I will be there. I'm going to get in on the 5th at some point. I just don't know what time. It just depends on what time I leave. But I'll connect with you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
As we wrap up here, you know, just kind of we talked about kind of your favorite like Soccer Chat moments and things along that. As everybody knows, the thing about Soccer Chat is we're connecting coaches together. We're building our network and with our referees as well. We're trying to get the referees involved for our man Dan. So I'll go through and I'll mention everybody's name, and I want you to let everybody know how they can contact you via Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever it may be, if they would like to reach out and connect with you. So Clifton Bush, I know everybody memorized it because you've been on the show 35 times.
Yeah, yeah.
How can everybody get in contact with you?
Yeah, it's at Clifton_Bush at UNCAAVL with WSOCCER. So one of those two places I will be.
All right. And Dan, what about you?
Probably Twitter's the best. So D Turi, TURI_soccer. I figured
I knew I was saying your last name wrong. Gosh, I'm an idiot.
Well, when I went to Finland, I said it wrong too. Over there, it's a longer O sound with the double U. You're probably more accurate than we are.
Matt, what about you?
Matt Conti, if you just Google second half soccer, my website, Facebook page, Twitter, all that comes up. So,
yeah, plug that. What is that? I saw you posting about it. Is that a blog site or something you've been doing?
It's my website. I do one-on-one trainings with kids, but I mainly concentrate on leadership training through soccer because, I mean, really players even in the 8 and 10 spot don't even realize how much of a leader they're being on the field.
Yeah.
So I do a little bit. I concentrate on leadership training through soccer on my one-on-one trainings. And I did start doing a blog. I'm going to do a leadership in every position, one blog post for each position. I've done striker and I've done the 10 position. I'm working on the 8 position now. So I'm going to do every position on the field.
You want to challenge Matt?
That's really cool.
You want to challenge Matt?
That is really cool.
I'm going to challenge you. On top of doing your blog, do a vlog about the exact same thing.
I was thinking about that. So after I'm really good at doing the video part. I just suck at the writing. So I figure I do the word what I don't like first.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm planning on doing a video on each blog.
There you go.
So yeah. Definitely, just second half soccer. Look it up, and that's my business. And yeah, check it out.
Mike, what about you, man? The baddest man coaching soccer.
I've been at the gym more and more now that I'm retired, and I'm getting smaller and smaller. So I think that's what age does to you. So I don't know. Man,
for real, I was somebody the other day. I thought about you because they were like, "Hey, like, let's all start going to like work out and lift and stuff like that." I'm like, man, I'm at the point like anymore in my life. I don't want to lift weights. I want to do something fun to exercise. And I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to do like MMA training. Like, I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to fight anybody. Like, I know most people get into they want to go fight somebody. I just want to do it because I feel like that would be a fun way to exercise.
Well, we were at a wedding this last weekend for a buddy of mine. I hadn't seen anybody since we retired. And my wife remarked that she knows why I had so many crazy stories of being such an idiot, because all my guys were like 3 times the size of me, and never really noticed it until I looked at the pictures. I was, you know, at 175 pounds, where they're all 260, 270. It was, I looked like the kicker on like Miami Dolphins. But,
laces out. I'm
at Coach Mismer on Instagram and Twitter. And if anybody's out there, the link is there for my Concrete Kids, my girls' Twitter. If you get that, because I want to have the most followers for anybody else in our league, so we win that battle right off the bat.
There you go. There you go. The Concrete Kids. And if I ever make my way out to your area, which I've said before, like, I've got family in your area, I want to come do like some like striking training with you. Will you like train me?
That'd be awesome. You got all the gear.
I cannot wait for that. Rally, what about you? Where can people find you on social media?
People can find me at Raleigh_DeRose@brown.edu. That's my work email. But then on Twitter and social media, so I guess that leaves Instagram, I'm Raleigh D5.
Raleigh D5. And Sam, stop watching Love Island. We can hear it in the background. Tell them where they can find you at.
It's the basketball at the real Coach Sam.
The best Twitter handle.
And then we're went back to that. No, I'm back to it, and it's not changing. And then you probably find us like somewhere on Tinder or something as well.
We're still trying to get Sam married. That's the, like, of all the soccer chat stuff, like we've tried to get people on the national team. We obviously, you know, our record shows, like, if you want to get a big job or you want to get a big good job, you just got to come on our show, and within a year, like, you're going to move on to something at least. Our like main goal is to get Sam married and get her like to stay in the U.S.
I mean, let's just walk before we can run. So maybe a couple of dates here and there, you know. Uh-huh. Like next January, in Baltimore, let's just plan like a soccer chat version of The Bachelorette.
That's way easy.
Yeah, I feel like convention is the one place where you're going to be outnumbered that you'll be all right.
Way easy.
Well, you know what? Thank you guys so much. I said at the beginning of the show, and I've said this leading up to this, like, for my birthday, I just want to hang out with my soccer family and talk it up. It was awesome that when we sent the link out, it was just Nick and Sam and I. And as soon as she popped on, she's like, "You really don't have friends." And I was like, I don't. They're very hard to find. All my like actual friends think that my soccer friends are imaginary and that like they're like Twitter profiles. I'm like, no, like they're real people. But I want to thank you guys for coming on. You know, this is episode 99, and honestly, none of these episodes, none of the Twitter chat, the convention stuff, none of it would happen if not for people like you guys. And if it wasn't for you guys, like, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So muchas gracias. Many, many thanks to all of you for coming on.
No, thank you guys. You started it.
Thank you. Happy early birthday. Awesome.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday. I thought Sam was gonna sing, but I guess not.
No, that don't do that.
I think at
this point she'd be the lead intro to the 99th episode. Like, I think everybody's avoiding that so that you're not the musical interlude. Everybody's been on this thing that we've got your tricks here already, so
yeah. Well, if you thought the first 98 episodes were awesome, just wait for the next 100, because yep, be awesome.
I'm ready.
And make sure to tune in for episode 100, because it's going to be awesome. We're going to get some voicemails from our listeners, and Nick and I are going to release the Soccer Chat Global National Teams for the men's and women's side, and I cannot wait.
Remember, I'm a slower Steven Gerrard, and that's pretty good. So
I'm gonna be good.
Sam, do your cleat stick so I know you won't slip.
Oh yeah.
Wow. We just won Champions League. Let's slow our roll here.
Well, she was saying that she was a slow Gerrard. I just want to make sure that she's not going to fall.
Thought we were going out on a high note. That was tough.
No, thank you. I appreciate you sticking up for me a little bit.
That was a low blow.
I mean, hey, I just want to make sure she wasn't going to fall.
No, I'll be good.
All right. Thank you guys so much for spending your time. I know some of you guys want to watch the basketball game, and Sam wants to watch Love Island.
Correct.
And Mike probably wants to go to bed.
I'm tired.
So we will let you guys get out of here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye.